If you'd like to go and open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, we'll be there shortly. If you're using our Red Pew Bibles, page 1341. I actually wanted to begin our discussion this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, with this verse. I got thinking about this as I was going through the study of Galatians. As you know, I've tried to bring the study out from the idea of when the Galatians received this message, they did not receive it from men. So when we talk about our theme for it, the theme for the book of Galatians is not from men. But if you were to study this from multiple other sources, you're going to see 1,000 different ways to study this book of the Bible. A great one that I've used as kind of a commentary as we're going through this is freedom versus slavery, crucifixion or being crucified with Christ, living your life according to God's standards, and they use Galatians for the whole subject of that. And then just some very specific ones on circumcision, on Judaizing teachers, days, weeks, seasons, years, just things like that. And I bring it up because Romans 11:3 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable is his ways." Brother, when we go through the Bible, I hope that each and every time you read it, you actually learn something from it. The Bible is living and active in our lives. And if the only thing you ever get out of Scripture is the same thing you've already heard 1,000 different times, and that's how you look at Scripture, then you've missed the boat. Every time we read it, we're supposed to learn something. The Bible has a depth all of its own. We don't have to fabricate it. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to look for new sources. When you study the Bible, God will provide you a depth. The questions you ask the first time you read a passage, you know, hopefully 20 years later, those questions are going to seem so simple. And 20 years when you study it again, you're going to ask harder questions, better questions. And so as we come to the close, really, of our study, we're going to do this in two parts, this week and next week. I hope as you consider Galatians chapter 6, and again, that's page 1341 in the Red Pew Bible. I hope as you consider Galatians that that's what happens for you. That this was just, if it was the first time you've gone through it, this was an introduction. If you've gone through it several times, I hope you had learned something that was different or something came up that you said, wow, I never thought about that before. I know that certainly happened to me. But we're going to start in Galatians chapter 6 with chapter 5, verse 25. And that's just two verses before the end there. It says there, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not get up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." This is one of those sections of Scriptures where I think if we hit that chapter break, you can make a lot of great and valid biblical points. You can go throughout the Bible and prove them, but we kind of lose track of the context there. In Galatians chapter 5, we just talked about the works of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit. We talked about what these men were facing. And so when we get into the discussion here in Galatians 6, where we talk about what a spiritual person is, you understand, a spiritual person would be a person who's living by the Spirit, who's walking or keeping in step with the Spirit, who's following those fruits of the Spirit. And so when he gives them instructions, this is who he's talking to when he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual," meaning you people who walk by these fruits of the Spirit, you are partaking of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those of you who are partaking of that, you should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. See, we're talking about, when we start this passage, faithful Christians. So when we think about that question, who is this admonition for? It's not for the people Paul's been rebuking. In the last five chapters, we've talked about spies. We've talked about people who are partaking of the workers of the flesh, the biters, devourers, the pompous, the arrogant, the self-seekers, the pleasers of men, the immoral, the impure, people who are given to outbursts of anger. We're not talking about those who are in strife, who are jealous, who are angry, who are divisive, who are envious, who participate in drinking and parties. That's who Paul's been condemning. But in Galatians 1 and 2, he's not talking to them. He's talking to those people who have not given in to that temptation. Those people who have not fallen prey to these things. Those people who are living according to the Spirit. And to them he says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So two instructions. And they come up over and over again through verses 2 through 10. But this idea of the spirit of gentleness. Now again, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but we're not talking about a soft touch. We're talking about a spirit that has consideration. The spirit that has dignity, humility. That which is from that root word of meekness, which means quiet strength or strength under control. And watchfulness. To observe. To be careful of. To be vigilant, if you would. Keep watch on yourself. So gentleness and watchfulness. We're going to use those two points to go through verses 2 through 10. Now today we're only going to focus on the first five. And that's where it goes on to say, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor, for each one will have to bear his own load. Now, again, the Galatian congregation, if you will remember, they did have men who had come among them who were preaching a gospel that was not according to men. So in other words, they had people who were not walking according to the Spirit, who were not walking in step with the Spirit. Instead, they had a different gospel. Paul says in Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what has been preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, and so now I say again, if anyone preaches to you any other gospel than what you have received, let him be accursed. If you think about that, brethren, if the teachers of this gospel are cursed because it's a false gospel, it's not truth, what is happening to the people who are following it? If you're following an instruction that's separate from Christ, it is not going to lead you to heaven. And that's what's happened to these Galatians. They're following a falsehood. They're following something that's not real, that's fabricated. And what you have there is they're really breaking an old commandment. In Deuteronomy 4:10 and 4:2, we have this in Revelation 22 as well. It says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord God which I commanded you. Well, these Judaizing teachers had come in among the congregation, and they had added things to the word. The best examples of this is in chapter 2, verse 3, where Paul gives the example there of Titus, and he talks about how that they were pushing for circumcision. In Galatians 4, verse 10, it talks about how they were trying to worship days and months and seasons and years. They had added these things in. And by adding them in, think about what they had taken away from. They took away the importance of Jesus Christ. And when you look back at the whole Galatians, and if you remember, in Acts 14, the members of the church there, they had suffered at the hands of both the Jews and the Greeks. Because the Jews had already been in these areas when Paul started preaching the gospel. And the Jews were already accepted by the Roman citizens or the Greek citizens. And so when Paul began to preach in this area of Asia, we started preaching to them. It was both the Jews and the Greeks who opposed them. And so the brethren there, when they were suffering, when they were fighting against these things, they were suffering and fighting against both Jews and Greeks. And when someone came in and said, hey, if you live like a Jew, if you follow the circumcision, if you follow the practice of days and months and seasons and years, people are going to leave you alone. And Paul asked them, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Chapter 3, verse 4. Paul had fought with them. He was right in the trenches with them. He had tried to teach people the gospel with them. And these faithful brethren had worked with him. And everything they had fought for, all the troubles, all the tires, you know, if you look in here, it talks about how sick Paul was because, in Galatians 4, but you know that if it was because of bodily illness that I preached the gospel the first time, that it was a trial for you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel from God, as Christ Jesus himself. Paul was in a horrible state while all this was going on. And yet, they worked together. They fought together for something. And Paul wants to know, everything we worked for, was it in vain for you? Well, that's really Galatians 1 through 5. Because you have the group of people there who had fallen away. They were following this false teaching. But you had the brethren who did not. The brethren who remained strong. And the brethren who were suffering at the hands of these other brothers. Well, now, if you can understand it, the table's been kind of flipped. Because now Paul is supporting them. Now Paul knows that they're coming to them, hey, we have the truth. Well, you're finally justified in what you've been going through. And all the suffering and stuff. And you have your brother or your sister that's been treating you bad and been following this false gospel, and you've been talking to them, and they've been mocking you. How do you restore someone now? How do you bring them back into the faith? That's where we get in that spirit of gentleness. Because that's what they're being called to have. And understand, this is a good lesson for us just on a wider scale. People can fall away. People can leave the faith. That can happen. And that's why you have the ability and we have the ability to be restored. So when we consider that, how are we supposed to do that? Well, the example that's given to us is in verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And this is something Christ himself did. He bared our burdens, and he fulfilled the law. Well, his law. But understand, I like the attitude that goes behind it. This commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. When we think about the fruits of the Spirit, what's the very first one that's given to us? Love. That is the overriding factor in everything we encounter. This is part of bearing or carrying another's burden. The reason we do it, the attitude that is behind it, the reason you go out and help someone is because you love them. You care for them. You have that genuine affection towards your family, your brother, your sister in Christ. It's not because, I've got to go do this. If I don't do it and I'm not in right with you in the Bible, so I got to go. That's not why you do it. You do it because you honestly want to go out. You honestly want to help them. You honestly care for them. Now, admittedly, sometimes when you have family, you get a little irritated with them. You know, I have family. I get irritated with my family on occasion, even when I do have to help them, and I still love them to death. But that's the idea, is we maintain that love no matter what. And if there's a call, because you seem to always be having this specific problem, maybe we should discuss this. You know, that can come up as well. But understand, the attitude that behind our actions is supposed to be of love. Now, I will say, as you look at these verses, and if you look at Galatians 6, there's not really a portion here where if you're the brother or you're the sister that's having that temptation, that's having that trial, it's not really set up in here for you to get upset or angry or irritated because brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so didn't come out and see me while this was going on, or I've been going through this for 1 week and why haven't I got X amount of calls? I didn't get a letter in the mail. I didn't get an email. I didn't get a text message. That's not what these verses are about. Sometimes, I know it's hard to admit, but sometimes our brethren are busy doing other things. And just because they're not actively working in your life does not mean that they are not actively working. Does that make sense? We have people right now that are going through tremendous trials and sufferings. That they've got friends and family members who are dying. That they are at their house every single day. And we have people who go to the hospital 2, 3, 4 times a week, who visit people 3 or 4 times a week, who are driving all over the place to be in other people's lives. You know, just as a thought, and I know you all aren't in group 2, Mickey and Helen haven't been here in 2 weeks. It'd be a great time to call and visit. We have brethren in the hospital. We run 3 or 4 studies outside of this building. People are actively working. And we're not supposed to be people who are always expecting ill of other people. When you think about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we're supposed to think the best of one another. And we're supposed to have faith that our brethren are working. And sometimes the reason we have elders is we need guidance. We need to go in the right direction. And that's what we're supposed to do. But remember that. Don't always expect someone to be working just for you. And it's something, I mean, I've personally been worried about things or upset about things in the past. And I can relate to that. But people are working. Our brethren are working. And in this congregation alone, I know there are brothers and sisters who are actively working for the faith. You know, pray for one another. Lift each other up. If you're worried about it, start asking. Find out who's doing what. Again, come to the group meetings. We'd love to help, and we'd love to work with you. But we're called to assist our brethren like Christ. And that's really the ultimate example. In Hebrews 2:14 through 18, it says, "Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." Brethren, you know what we know from Galatians? What you should know from Galatians? What we should all know? We are the seeds of Abraham. It says it right there at the end of Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. You are the seed of Abraham. Who is Christ giving aid to? Who is he faithful and merciful towards? You. Me. He is giving aid to you at all times. And you know what? He suffered. And because he went through that suffering, he knows what you go through. He knows what I go through. And he is willing to aid you. He is willing to aid me. He's willing to aid us. And if you want to make an application to that, understand that when someone is suffering, we talk about bearing another's burdens and fulfilling that law of Christ. Many of you have gone through a lot. Take that knowledge, that wisdom you have from the sufferings you have fought through and maintained your faith, and take that and share that with someone else who's suffering. Help them, strengthen them, encourage them, lift them up. You are a tool that Christ has given to all of us. And likewise, those of you that are suffering, you may encounter a person who does not have anywhere near the experience you have, who hasn't been through the temptations, hasn't been through the trials, you know, may not be beat up or broken in various different ways. But when it comes down to it, they love you and they care for you and they are trying to be there for you. Let them. If you don't let someone provide for you or help you, you're not letting someone bear your burden. You're going to have your own burden. We're going to talk about that in a second. But the idea is that we each let each other work in each other's lives. We're in this together. Now, as we come through this, we're going to encounter times where people may not realize, because again, in the context, you have a people who are caught up in sin. It snuck up on them. It got them. They weren't really planning this. This isn't something they do on a regular basis. When you look at the Galatians congregation, Paul was gone for weeks or months. He wasn't gone for years and they fell away. It was a very short period of time. And in that time, these teachings had come up and they had partaken of it. Well, when that happens, that's where the gentleness comes in. The meekness, that quiet strength, the strength under the control. Again, kind of the idea of a soft touch, but more the idea of consideration, humility. You know, we're brothers and sisters because of Christ, not because of anything we did. Dignity, because, again, who do we serve? Jesus Christ. And that is our emphasis. It's not a, I told you so. When we look at Matthew 18, Matthew 18 is a great chapter for us on discipline. Right? It tells us exactly what we're supposed to do. It's book, chapter, and verse. If a brother has overtaken a fault, you go to that brother and you talk to them. Well, if the brother doesn't receive you, so then you go and you get your witnesses, right? Two or three. Go over there, you three of you. You all talk to them. You know, if it's still not working out, at that point, then you go to the congregation. But why do you do it? You're not doing it so you can go through the steps so you can mark them. That's not the purpose of Matthew 18. The purpose of Matthew 18 is the verses that come right before it. It's the song I love to sing, the 90 and 9. A shepherd has 100 sheep, one has gone astray. And what does he do? He goes out of his way to bring that sheep back. That's what Matthew 18 is about. It's about the 90 and 9. It's about finding the one lost sheep and leading them back. Marking may come up, but the purpose of it is to bring people back to Christ. And that's what our attitude has to be. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to have love. We're supposed to have empathy. We're supposed to be trying to bear another's burdens. We're supposed to be involved in their lives. That's what we're trying to accomplish. Because we know what God wants. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. What does God want? He doesn't want people marked and cast away from the church. He doesn't want people going to hell, which was reserved for the devil. He wants people to be saved. One of the things we just talked about was Ezekiel 18. What's one of the main purposes of Ezekiel 18? Repentance. He does not want the wicked to die. And that's what we have to realize. We are God's instruments to help prevent that. And so to do that, we have to try to bring our brethren back. And we must be careful. We must be observant. We have to watch for ourselves. Verse 3, when we talk about this watchfulness idea, it says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And what we're calling for there is an honest evaluation of yourself. How many of us know exactly where we're at as Christians? How many of us have done an honest evaluation? You know, you run into people who are basically what I would call hypercritical. They've hobbled themselves. They've crippled themselves. They talk about, well, I've got this beam in my eye, therefore I can't go talk to brother so-and-so. Brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so comes up a lot in my sermons. But these brothers and these sisters, they come up. You want to talk to them, but you can't because you're too evil. There's a lot of issues with that. Matthew 6 is not giving you permission to avoid talking to someone about the truth. That's not what "judge not lest you be judged" means. We are supposed to talk to people about the Word of God. And if someone is caught up or overtaken in a fault, we are supposed to talk to them. You may not be the most perfect person in the world, but if you know the truth on a subject, you are supposed to bring that truth to them. And that's something we have to consider. Now, on the same token, that's not necessarily what he's talking about here, but he's also talking about people who kind of deceive themselves because they're patting themselves in the back because I have bad flexibility. I'm a good Christian. I'm a great Christian. I do everything right. You know, and that's, both extremes are wrong. I love this passage from 1 Corinthians 11. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, there was division all over the place. And he even goes so far as to condemn it, saying, "It's actually reported there is division among you. And these divisive brethren were ignoring the importance of the Lord's Supper. The bread that is given to us is the body of Christ. The blood which is given to us, or the cup that is given to us, is the blood of Christ. A sacrifice that was made so that we could become the adopted sons and daughters of God." They were ignoring it because they were focused on their own fights. They were focused on themselves. And Paul tells them, before you eat and drink damnation unto yourself, let a man examine himself. You can know where you are at. One of the easiest things to do, not just internally, but look at it externally. Let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Don't think about what the person next to you is doing. Look at the work that you have done. Look at the work that you are doing. Think about where you are at in this life. I mean, can you be like Paul, who in 2 Timothy talked about, "I have fought the fight, I have run the race, there is a crown of life waiting for me." Can you look at your work, because you are a workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Can you look at your work and say, "Yes, that is what I have"? And if not, why not? That's not a position any of us are supposed to be in. Now, it's talking about boasting here, but understand, this isn't the idea of we can all be braggarts. If you remember in Galatians what they are dealing with, they had a group of people who were basically, Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul compares them to himself, and he says, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men?" These men were trying to do that. They were trying to please men. They were trying not to seek the favor of God, but they're trying to seek the favor of other men. And then when you come over to Galatians 3, 17 and 18, it talks about there that these brethren were leading the brethren astray. Go, what am I saying is this? The law, I'm sorry, that's not the right passage. Galatians 4, 17, 18. "They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. And it's always good to be sought, but in a commendable manner." So they were seeking the Galatians. They were trying to get the Galatians to seek after them and their false teachings. They were doing that for another reason than to lift themselves up. They were taking them away from Christ. Focus on me, not on Jesus. And Paul says, that's wrong. Look at your own work. Don't look at these men who you're lifting up on pedestals. What are you doing? And there's some great men that are out there, both faithful and people who have built reputations that have nothing to do with God and Christ. And who are you a disciple of? Are you a disciple of them, or are you a disciple of Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Whose church do you belong to? You can't put your faith in men. You have to put your faith in Christ. And the Bible tells us finally that each one will have to bear his own load. Every last one of us has our own load to bear. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. Doesn't matter how great the person is. We all bear our own load. And the thing to remember about that is God does not give us more than we can handle. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And he doesn't let you do it alone. You can do it through Christ. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And we do it together since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Hebrews 12. That is what's been given to us, brother. We're not in this alone. Yeah, we're going to have to carry our cross. But when you look left and right, you have Christ with you and you have your brethren with you. So let's apply these verses. Again, the first passage there, Galatians 6, verse 1. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you are spiritual, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So in the context, we are called to restore. We are called to put in order. There's certainly a time and place where we are supposed to reprove and rebuke with all authority. You know, that's Titus 2:15. First part of Titus 2:15 also says, encourage and rebuke with all authority. There's a time and place for gentleness. There's a time and place when we start working in each other's lives, where we start having that consideration, that quiet strength, that dignity, that humility, the ability to bring someone back to the faith because we love them. That's what we should be doing. Secondly, know your place. In other words, know your place with God. Where are you? If you do not know where you stand with God, why not? You have the Word of God. And the majority of people in here can read. Why do you not know where you stand with God? And that is something you should have in your life and you should know each and every day. It's not a secret. When you look at James chapter 1, verses 23 through 27, he just finished up the discussion about faith and works. And when you come to that passage there, it talks about a person who looks into the perfect law of liberty. You can see in God's word, Christ's word, what you are. Don't be the person who walks away and forgets his appearance. Know where you're at. And if you don't know, please spend some time in the scripture and figure out where you're at. Then, after we leave, really that's the internal aspect. Go external. Examine yourself. What works are you doing? Again, Ephesians 2:10, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. What are you doing each and every day? You know, the nice thing is I like Wednesdays and I like Sunday nights because basically I basically see the same people. But encourage people. There are people who haven't been to a Sunday afternoon service in 7 or 8 months. Talk to them. They get tired of hearing from me. Talk to them. See where they're at. See if they're available to come out Thursday night to Bible study. Tuesday night's the study over here. Find out. See where you're at. Also, think about this, brethren. There are people who are involved in studies that happen every single day. Find one and partake in it. Invite people to it. Please. We have to start working on our works and making sure they're in accordance with God. We should know what our fruit looks like, and our fruit should be pleasing to God. Our invitation song is number 800, Zion's Call. And today, we really have the opportunity that if we're not right with God, we can come to Him, we can seek forgiveness, we can pray for each other, and we can be restored. If you have your burden in your life that you need help with, we can pray for one another, we can be there for one another. Also, if you have something in your life that is going right, that is going great, make sure you tell your brethren about that too. God works in our lives, period. Not just when we're sad or when we're depressed or when things are going against us. But at all times, God is actively working in our lives. And if you are not a Christian, understand you can partake of Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. And you can be found in Him. And you have that opportunity now. If you would like to be baptized in Jesus, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.